This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble here filling in for Aaron Flint, and we are going to have, we got Tim from Billings in studio. We've got Samuel Pascal Redfern joining us. Sam, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if the people out there might be able to hear you, but I can't. So, well, Sam, here's what I was going to have you talk about. I mean, I see you're pretty active on social media. I think your voice is going out, but I'm not going to hear you. But I just wanted to give you a chance because I see you doing a lot of stuff over there in Missoula. Just wanted to give you a chance to kind of give our listeners kind of an update on kind of what you've been up to, what you've been doing. Okay,
but Sam, I'm getting word from my guy here at the studio that we're having technical difficulties. I apologize. I'm just going to talk to my friend here in studio, Tim in Billings, just for a few minutes. We'll have the producer here work with Sam here to try to get him on. We're doing our best here, folks. We're doing our best here. There we go. Got that fixed. Appreciate that. So, Tim and Billings, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, you were just talking to the PSC commissioner as he walked out. Had you heard of that MISO, that OMS deal?
I had not. I was a little bit familiar with the Mid-Continental pool, basically, of power producers. But because there's, if you remember a year or two ago, parts of eastern Montana had some rolling brownouts because they're a part of that Mid-Continental or Southwest pool. I don't remember which, so they're not part of what Montana is included in. And so that's when I first heard about these different pools of electrical distribution and production and stuff like that. And so I'd heard the term and wasn't completely
wow.
Scratching
my
head.
So you're more familiar with this stuff than I am. The one thing you said that kind of caused me some concern is that apparently there's recent warnings kind of gone out to some of the power generators saying, hey, if you're working on your coal or natural gas generators, if you're working on transmission lines, stop, put it back together because the renewables aren't there and we're going to need that stuff. Did you hear him say that part? Did you catch that?
I heard him say that before I came in the building. Yeah, I caught the end of that as I was coming in the building.
But that kind of jives with what you were saying, which is we're seeing brownouts and loss of electricity because of what these other states around us are doing.
Right, exactly, and which is crazy. Texas caught a lot of flack because they had turned into their own independent pool. They had cut off from all the other grids, and then they had the worst cold snap in the history of Texas, and it froze a bunch of wind generators, it froze a bunch of transmission lines, things that they aren't accustomed to in Texas. And, of course, the people who didn't want them to become independent, that just gave them ammunition to give them grief over it, but their power stays in Texas, and they generate their own and they keep it in state. And what a novel concept, right?
I love that idea. A little bit of self-sufficiency never hurt anybody. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun developing today, an isolated shower chance lingers in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, highs from the lower 50s in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Now with partly cloudy skies for tonight. Temperature set back down into the mid-30s, and then on Friday we'll see considerable cloudiness and some scattered shower chances moving in with highs from the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. A report from the American Cancer Society finds tobacco to still be the leading preventable cause of cancer deaths in the U.S. Recent data shows tobacco is connected to more than 80% of lung cancer deaths. That's despite a drop in Americans who smoke. Researchers finding the percentage of adult cigarette smokers declined from 42% in 1965 to 11% in 2023. But health experts point to lower lung cancer screenings as a reason why tobacco continues to be a leading cause of cancer death. In 2022, data revealing roughly 18% of current or former smokers had a needed screening. The ACS recommends older adults who smoke or used to regularly smoke get a lung cancer screening every year, which can help catch cancers early and increase the chances of survival. You can get more details on the report at cancer.org, or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Thank you.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble here filling in for Aaron Flint along with Tim in Billings in studio. Unfortunately, we're still having technical difficulties. Can't take phone calls, can't have guests. So, Tim, really appreciate you helping cover down here.
Yeah, no problem. I, just kind of managed to wander in the building. I think the wind must have blown it just the right direction to get me in the building. And
yeah, you know, I was showing you, I was at a really, really cool looking church down in Argentina. I took a picture of myself in front of it. I posted it on Twitter saying, here was me in the East Wing of the, I can't believe Trump tore this down. Because remember, all these Democrats were posting photos of like, no, that's not the East Wing. Like, that's the East Room, which is in the actual White House. But and so I thought that was kind of funny. But then we were talking about how, you know, some of this architecture that you see in old Spanish colonial countries is just so incredible. And I was talking about how in Buenos Aires, they have tons and tons of statues. I mean, huge, huge statues all around the city. And they did it, you know, as a way to build national identity, as a way to celebrate their history, as a way to make themselves a world city and a world country. And then we were talking about, you know, it's just unfortunate that you don't have that kind of stuff in the U.S. We're not building anything like a church like the Spanish colonialists built that somebody would want to go see in 100 years.
Absolutely, and it's because we are a bottom dollar society. You know, I want the mostest for the leastest. Build me this building as cheaply and as quickly as possible, and I don't care what it looks like. You know, and that's kind of our mentality in our country anymore, unfortunately. Speaking of churches, I don't know if you've seen, I've seen this a couple of times on social media recently. There's in Portugal, I believe. It's either in Spain or Portugal. There's a church that was started to be built 300-400 years ago. And the man who started building it, he knew it would never be built in his, you know, it'd be never built in his time. And it's a multi-generational church. It's set to be completed in like 2028 or something. And he used a lot of influence from nature. It has these beautiful internal arches that model trees, the roots of trees and things of that nature. I you know, right off the top of my head, I can't remember what it's called, but it's just beautiful. I had sent a message to my wife one day and I said, we should go check this out when it opens up. I've got no desire to go to Europe, but to see that thing would be pretty cool.
And yeah, no, I'm with you. I was just saying, too, it's like if I were to ever run for office in Montana, locally, statewide, nationally, whatever, like one of the things I think that would be good to do is to put up more statues and to put up really, really large statues. They're majestic. They're nice to look at. I would like to encourage a better architecture. I think you're right, though. And like in the U.S., a lot of it is just driven by economics and finance, and people just aren't willing to put money into decent looking architecture, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely. And what a great you want to build a city that people want to come and visit and see these nice aesthetics. Commission an artist to make this great piece of art, you know, a nice statue for your city, you know. Excuse me. But that wouldn't that be great for both the artist, the city, and the visitors? You know, the rams, the horses, the things that we've done around town over the past 20 years. Yeah, those are cool, and they're a good fundraiser for, you know, whatever organizations, and, you know, but that's not a grand scale. I mean, you're talking about things on a grand scale that the Lady of the Rockies, right?
Right.
Beautiful. Just a beautiful statue.
Perfect example, yeah.
You know, it's up there on the side of the mountains in Butte where, you know, you look at the Lady of the Rockies and then you take a 30-degree turn to your left and then you have the Berkeley Pit. I mean, but it to have that offset and to have that that gift to the city from the family that commissioned that, you know, that's beautiful.
It is. In Buenos Aires, they have a 33-foot tall statue of Christopher Columbus. And in Frank, it was there because there's a huge Italian influence in Argentina because they had a ton of Italian immigrants. Similar to the United States. I mean, we've got a ton of Italian blood in the United States from a lot of Italian immigration over the years. And why can't we have a 33-foot tall statue of Christopher Columbus? Put it in a city park, put it in a state park for all I care.
Well, I think there's a lot of leftists that would screech and squawk and have an absolute meltdown if you put up a statue of Columbus, because just a couple of years ago they were tearing them down across the country because whatever reason.
Because Christopher Columbus was not perfect.
And neither is any other person that's ever walked the face of the earth except for one. And, you know, but people in glass houses type of thing. You
hey,
know?
Got a couple of messages. Message here. Buck in Bozeman says, I propose a nuclear power plant in the center of the People's Republic of Missoula. This way Missoula could actually produce something positive. Yes, that includes football. Go Cats, go.
That's great. I am a big fan of nuclear power.
Me too, and especially these small-scale nuclear power plants that they're talking about doing that you can actually – I mean, you look at some of the regulations in the United States, and like China can put up a power plant in, a you know, 3 months or whatever, something crazy. In the U.S., it's like 25 years or some absurd thing. Absolutely. That's what we got to get rid of.
Absolutely. Well, and I don't know if you remember, but there was a gal that was on here two or three years ago, and she was heavily involved in the nuclear industry. And I don't remember if she said it on the air here or if it was a paper that she had written, but by 2035, we will have commercial nuclear electrical production in the United States. There was recently a video of a nuclear reactor, the Tomac. They had an internal camera, and it was, you could see the plasma forming and being created in there. It was absolutely amazing to see.
That's really cool to see. Well, in that case, maybe we don't want to give Missoula the nuclear reactor.
Put it here.
They can, yeah, put it here. They can survive on windmills and solar panels.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump's America.
For nearly 3 hours, justices questioned attorneys in a case President Trump describes as life and death over his use of tariffs at the center of his foreign trade platform.
They're not an exercise of the power to tax. They're the exercise of the power to regulate foreign commerce.
Solicitor General John Sauer made arguments for the administration, telling justices President Trump is using tariffs not as a revenue raiser requiring congressional approval, but as a tool to change the behavior of foreign governments. Chief Justice John Roberts at times appeared skeptical.
Who pays the tariffs? If a tariff is imposed on automobiles, who pays them?
President Trump concedes tariffs are likely to generate trillions of dollars in new revenue. That created another question posed by Justice Amy Coney Barrett. If the tariffs are overturned,
tell me how the reimbursement process would work. Would it be a complete mess?
An opinion is not expected for several weeks. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I'll tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, the cattle futures continue to be falling lower, but overall, 2025 has been a historic run for the cattle market. Randy Block with Cattle Facts shares how situations south of the border impacted cattle prices.
We're going into the phase of the cattle cycle where 2025 and 2026 would likely see the about as high as the markets would get in that time period. All in all, I would say really things are on schedule, with the exception of we did have some surprises with the Mexican border. The market certainly wasn't anticipating we'd go through months of the Mexican border being closed. That's had a major impact on supplies of fed cattle throughout the course of the year, availability of feeder cattle. And we also, with the increase in tariffs on Brazil, moving those tariff levels to 76.4%, that all but pretty well shut off the flow of imported lean beef from Brazil. So the market got a little extra juice in July out of both those announcements. Say $15 to $20 a hundred impact on the Mexican situation. And with the Brazilian situation, you're talking about nearly $10 a hundred.
The Mexican and Brazilian situation added around $25 to $30 a hundred weight for the U.S. cattle market. I'm Lane Northline.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's David Noble here and Tim in Billings here in studio, and I think we've got our situation working here. Sam Redfern out of Missoula, are you there? Can you hear me?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Montana.
All right, well, great to have you with us. I know you've been doing some work with some veterans organizations over there in Missoula. It seems like you're working on lots of stuff. So give us an update on what you've been working on.
Well, David, good morning, Montana. This is Sam Redd from Montana Veterans Association. We've got 700 veterans in the field so far for our Warrior Team Hunt program. And, you know, the Montana Elk, they go through one of the greatest transitions of the season, where they've been singing in the mountains and singing in the fields, and now they disappear. It's a beautiful thing to see. So,
that's fantastic. Where's your... Let me ask you this. In terms of that organization, that program, is that just out of Missoula, or is this a statewide thing? Or
yeah, we are statewide. We have elk camps, archery camps in Helena and up north of Great Falls, and then we've got some near Lewistown, and then we've got rifle hunt statewide. We go all the way from Jordan, Montana, up to Kalispell region, Montana.
That's fantastic. What else is it Montana Veterans Association? What else are you guys doing?
You know, outside of the Warrior Team Hunts, we're really engaged right now in surveying Montana veterans. We've been on the one-year anniversary of President Trump being elected, been surveying on the follow-through, as well as the Senate race last year was a big deal with Senator Sheehy coming into the Senate. And so we've been keeping our ears and eyes close to the ground, listening to the vets. We do vet-to-vet buddy checks monthly, and we do that by mainly telephone, doors, or text. And so our veterans are always in communication with us. And, you know, Montana's got about 100,000 veterans around the state. It's one of the highest per capita state populations for vets. And we've got a new Secretary of Defense that vets are excited about, with B. Hegseth coming in now and making a lot of changes at DOD and Pentagon. And we've got Doug Collins, who I worked for back in the Chaplain Corps. He's our Secretary of VA. And we're wanting to make sure that follow-through is happening across Montana for our veterans.
That sounds fantastic. Tim and Billings, you've talked about the VA issues here every once in a while, don't you?
Not too much. I was always very frustrated with our former senator, how, you know, he would tout how much good he was doing, and you'd hear veterans call into the show here and talk with Aaron and talk about the issues they were having. But, you know, come campaign season, it was always, you know, Banny Rooster, you know, strutting around the yard, you know, with his chest puffed out, talking about how great he was. And the people who actually needed those services were struggling to get those services. And I always thought that was a great disservice to our veterans who have, you know, sacrificed so much for the rest of us.
Yeah, Sam, are you guys seeing any improvement in the VA here in the last 6 months to a year?
You know, David, we are. And I want to be very specific on that. Great question. We are seeing community care in Montana run much more smoothly. We have 15 wheelchair vets in our HUP program, for example. And yes, that's a small group to survey, but they all have reported to us at the community care where they can get a caregiver assigned to help them for up to 30, 35 hours a week. Some of them have, you know, help for 10 hours a week. And some of those veterans had family members giving them care, and some had, for example, a company like Missoula Aging Services or another community-based organization. And all of our veterans are reporting community care is going much smoother. Of course, we are facing challenges with the government shutdown. 72% of Montana veterans that we've surveyed in the last 25 days are blaming Democrats for that shutdown. And they're seeing some services like physical therapy and some orders that that are needing to be done held up because of this shutdown, David.
That's actually unbelievable. I have not heard that. I mean, my understanding is, the food stamp benefits, you know, some flight delays. I have not heard that about actual veterans not getting care that they deserve and need. That sounds very important. Why do you think that's not, you know, a bigger deal in the news? Because that should be a major issue.
It's a major issue. And what it is some VA, to be very clear here, is currently operational. And then that's been based on past shutdowns. They've made sure, for example, certain military operations are going on, and of course our VA healthcare system. But the VA benefits or VA community care or the ability to get certain things done on an order, on a prescription order or a, let's say, a community care order has been delayed, and some of those offices are closed. So if you're trying to go into the Missoula CBOC, for example, and you want to go over your PACT Act claim, your Missoula VA benefits office will have been closed during the shutdown. So yes, some essential services, to be clear, David, are open, but there are others in the VA that are being interrupted. And of course, our great military, if you saw the vote that happened where we were trying to get our military paid, and that vote was
just... Sam, we got the 7:30. We got the 7:30 news break. We'll be right back. 1 second. And Tim in Billings here talking to Sam Redfern with Montana Veterans Association. Sam, sorry I had to cut you off there for the 7:30 news break. Did you finish what your thought was?
Thanks, David. I just wanted to be clear to your listeners that this is pretty substantive. There are 900,000 veterans unable to get any assistance from the GI Bill or the GI Bill hotline. You can go to vanews.gov for that source, straight on the VA page. So you've got VA regional benefits offices that are closed right now. The GI Bill is closed. The Transition Assistance Program, VRE, Public Affairs, and your national cemeteries. All the presidential memorial certificates and the permanent installation of headstones are halted. What's not halted is emergency care, general VA care. That stuff is still open for Montana veterans, but you got about 6 or 7 essential services shut down right now due to the government shutdown.
Well, that's very important information. Thank you for getting that out to our listeners. Couple of minutes left here, Sam. I'd give you a chance. It seems to me like you've got a lot more going on over there than the MVA stuff, and obviously would be interested in hearing sort of your overall take on the election, sort of the future of conservative politics here in Montana. If you want to highlight some of your other work you're doing, that'd be great too. So I guess I'll just give you the floor here for the last minute.
Yeah, appreciate it. If you want to go to our website, mtmvafoundation.org, or you can look us up on facebook.com/Montana Veterans Association. So MVA has got about 20 board members statewide. We are a statewide organization. We've got 5 chapters nationwide. We're coming on 1 year of President Trump being sworn into office. You mentioned the elections. And we're coming into coming off a major election Tuesday where we had New York City. I kind of want to highlight that. Some concerns that have been expressed for Montana veterans is, you know, New York City has a socialist mayor and a Muslim mayor, which is interesting for a lot of veterans who fought in the Middle East. And that was a landslide type victory. And that shows you, when you look at the exit poll, you look at the youth that voted for Mamdani, however you say the name, Mamdani, the youth came out in a massive formation. And so a lot of Montana veterans are in our ear at MVA to focus on what Charlie Kirk focused on at TPUSA is mentoring our youth, mentoring our and leading our veterans youth, our military youth, and doing a lot more outreach with college students that are veterans, David.
Well, that's fantastic. Hey, 30 seconds left, Sam. How can folks find you on X or on Facebook?
Yeah, on X, it's at SamUSOH, real easy, at SamUSOH, or on Facebook, Samuel Pascal Redfern. You can also email me, sam@mtmva.org. And we really appreciate Montana Talks and all the great work you and Aaron do, David, and getting the message out to Montana veterans. And let's get back to work. That's a message for Montana veterans to D.C. Get back to work. The people are ready to conduct our business, and veterans have paid a heavy price for this nation.
Amen to that, Sam. Thank you so much for joining us. We're up against the break. We'll be right back with more.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble here, still filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got a special guest in studio from the Montana State Fund, President and CEO Holly Odell. Holly, I'm looking at something here, a media advisory. It says Montana State Fund kicks off statewide dividend tour, paying out $38.5 million to policyholders. So, frankly, maybe just start off with explaining what the Montana State Fund is, because I think a lot of our listeners may not know.
Good morning, David. Thank you for having me. So the Montana State Fund is Montana's only not-for-profit workers' compensation carrier, the largest workers' comp carrier in Montana, and we insure employers. So employers insure employees to make sure that in the event of a workplace accident, that person's taken care of, can get back to work. So we have over 23,000 employer customers that we serve, and then folks who are injured are our second customer. And so it's a very important mission in Montana that we're on.
You know, what it makes me think of is I've seen a bunch of news stories over the years talking about how Montana's workplaces are some of the most dangerous, or we have the highest rates of injury or something like that. So when I see you guys doing a dividend tour, that was sort of my first question is, are you seeing safer work sites, or what's, I guess, the reason why there's enough money to do this dividend?
Yeah, Montana has very dangerous industries. We have mining, agriculture, lots of construction, especially we see here in Billings, of course, and many opportunities to get hurt. Gratefully, safety is better in Montana and has been year over year for many years. There's fewer people getting hurt today than in 1990, even though we have thousands more employees on the job. And so it's really a competitive advantage these days for employers to lean in on safety. And the reason we're getting a dividend is for three reasons. So more people going home safely, folks getting their treatment and then getting right back to work, and strong financial management on Montana State Fund's end. So all those things together combine.
That third one we can attribute to you.
Absolutely. We invest carefully. We're thoughtful with our expenditures and administering, you know, the right benefits to get people back on their feet. And then with our not-for-profit model, everything that would be profit goes right back in the hands of our customer policyholders.
Okay. And that would be the 23,000 Montana employers. When you say our policyholders, you're talking about those 23,000 Montana businesses.
Yeah. So those folks pay premium to be insured by us. We make sure that we take care of their people when they're hurt, and we partner with them physically across Montana in person on safety interventions. And then when we put aside enough money for all those claims and we're still financially strong, we put that right back into the pocket. So there's literally 23,000 customers getting a check this week.
Oh, the checks are going out this week.
Yeah, checks are in the mail, hand delivered for some of them, and that's what we're on tour for, is to recognize some of the largest customers who have leaned in most to make work comp work, and every single one's got a check in the mail.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to follow up with my law firm's management here and see how big of a check we got.
Absolutely. If you're insured with us, you got a significant check.
So how many, I mean, 23,000 employers seems like a lot. I mean, do you have any guess in terms of percentage of the employers? Like, what percentage of the employers does Montana State Fund versus, I know that there are a number of private insurers as well.
Yeah, so we insure the vast majority of folks by premium. So we have almost all of the high hazard industries. We have most of the customers in Montana choose us. And so by premium, in terms of how many dollars go into work comp, more than 60% of the market. By policy, a little bit less, because some of the low hazard industries choose to self-insure or go with other arrangements. There's 200 carriers that sell work comp in Montana, and employers can choose any of them, but most choose to partner with us.
That's fantastic. I'm looking at some of these counties. It looks like Yellowstone County, nearly 4.25 million. Gallatin County, the largest at 6 million. That kind of seems to track kind of the size of the counties. Is that fair to say?
Yes. We have the majority of every industry and the majority of high hazard industries, and it absolutely tracks with what's happening with commerce and the economy in these counties. And so absolutely, there were more than 2,000 employers right here in Yellowstone County that got a dividend, like you said, more than $4 million. In Gallatin County, that was more than 3,000 employers, and that $6 million. So that's all a share of this $38.5 million that's going all across Montana.
That's fantastic. And so safety is a key message, according to the Montana State Fund. Kind of seems self-explanatory, but I don't know if you can talk a little bit more about sort of how safety plays into all of the work of the Montana State Fund.
A dollar invested in safety is a dollar invested in success, and it's truly a competitive advantage to make sure that your folks are going home at the end of the day to their families and coming back tomorrow healthfully to work. And so there's all kinds of innovations that employers are leaning in on, and you can get free safety consulting with Montana State Fund in person. There's hundreds of videos available online that you can watch about how to do that, and it's really about that safety culture. It starts at the top with the commitment. We put our money where our mouth is. We really invest in our employees, care for our employees like their family. We see that with tens of thousands of employers across Montana. And this is the way we do it, is by a culture of safety.
You know, I frankly find that to be very, very important, because I've got nagging injuries from high school football, from pitching in high school. I mean, my right shoulder gives me pain from pitching in high school baseball. I just broke my arm a month and a half ago riding my bicycle. And, you know, it's interesting, because as soon as you're injured, everything else goes out the window. The only thing that matters is your health. And we talk about workplace safety and stuff like that. And it's sort of, if you're healthy and you're doing okay, you may not realize just how important this stuff is. But the second you're injured, the second anybody has a problem, that becomes the only thing you care about in your entire life. It's your sole focus is getting healthy again.
It's all encompassing, isn't it? You're waiting for that doctor visit or that specialist, and waiting to hear what they're going to tell you, and following every step and just thinking about this. And so those are the second and third keys to workers' comp, is early treatment with the right treatment, following up on all those pieces, and then getting people in a modified job where we're still connected to our employer. So if I did break my arm, I still want to be there at the workplace with my buddies, and I want to know that they're not talking about me, right? So I want to be able to do something to contribute still.
Yeah, and I mean, that's good for people's mental health too. I mean, you don't want to be sitting at home doing nothing. You're not going to feel great about it.
Absolutely. We did some AI work with data analytics, and if the word fear appears in a claim, that person's seven times less likely to be able to return to work and be successful. So it's just keeping that conversation going where, you know, we care about you, we want you to get better, and we are going to see you back here tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's like, it not only does investing in safety for an employer benefit the employer because, hey, they don't lose as many employees when they do have issues, their employees are back on there, but then it also helps them get a dividend.
Absolutely. So employers across the board investing in safety, return to work, and early treatment is why every one of our customers is getting a dividend. So Montana is getting safer every year, and it's thanks to our partnerships with employers across the board in every industry.
So this says workers' compensation insurance is a bright spot in Montana and across the United States, because right now folks are facing disastrous health insurance, horrible rates on homeowners insurance, auto insurance is going up. So the fact that anything that has the word insurance in it and you're actually doing a dividend, it really is a bright spot.
Yeah, we're on dividend tour, and we have heard from employers that insurance can be one of the number one expenses up there right after fuel, for example, double-digit increases in every other line, like you said. But here at Montana State Fund, we're lowering rates first, 60% in the last 10 years, 15% in the last 2 years. We're lowering rates, plus kicking back a dividend, more than $500 million since the beginning of our program.
That's fantastic. Well, hey, we got about a minute left here. I guess, what else did you want to get out to our listeners? If employers are interested, where can they learn more? That kind of a thing.
Workers' comp is working in Montana, especially at Montana State Fund. And if employers want to partner with us who haven't had the chance first, montanastatefund.com. Give us a call. We'll get you connected. Reach out to your local agent. And you can reach out for all your safety resources as well so you can be part of Montana's success.
All right. And that's fantastic. I've also got Safer Workplaces, Stronger Businesses 2025, How Montana State Fund is Making Montana a Better Place to Do Business. So we've got this here in studio. I can read through this on the break and maybe get some more information out there to people.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you bet. I've got 30 seconds left, actually, so let me fill the airways here with another 30 seconds of stuff. Did you have anything else you wanted to add? Let's see. Let me actually introduce you again, because people a lot of times join mid-segment. We're talking to Holly Odell, president and CEO of the Montana State Fund. Holly, anything? Now 10 seconds to go.
And we've got employers all across Montana that are celebrating their investments, often investing this dividend and right back in safety purchases. So this is a virtuous cycle of work comp working in Montana.
That's fantastic. It's great to have a little bit of good news here on the show. And so thank you so much for Holly, CEO of the Montana State Fund, for coming in. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Sports update.
Relay comes to the point. Jeffrey fires. Just missed. Ovechkin turns. He scores! The Great Eight is the one and only at 900. Jubilation here at Capital One Arena. And we're going to see the changing of the numbers to 900 in his 1,504th game.
On Monumental Sports Network, monumental moment in the career of Alex Ovechkin. He broke Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record last season. Against the St. Louis Blues Wednesday, Ovechkin became the first NHL player to register a 900th goal. Washington beat St. Louis 6-1. Week number 10 of the NFL season begins tonight in Denver. The Broncos, winners of six games in a row, host the 2-6 Las Vegas Raiders. The Broncos, an 8.5-point favorite. College football Wednesday. In Muncie, Indiana, Ball State scored a go-ahead touchdown with under 2 minutes to go to beat Kent State 17-13. Toledo trampled Northern Illinois 42-3. NBA, for the first time since Game 6 of last season's NBA Finals, the reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder lost a game last night. The Thunder gave away a 22-point lead at Portland, where they were beaten by the Trailblazers 121-119. OKC's record dropped to 8-1. Big night for Portland's Denny Avdija. Just missed a triple-double, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. On the same night the Thunder lost their first game, the Brooklyn Nets became the last NBA team to get their first win of the season. The Nets 1-7 after they beat the Pacers in Indianapolis 112-103. Michael Porter Jr. had 32 points and 11 rebounds for Brooklyn. Russell Westbrook recorded the 204th triple-double of his career in Sacramento's 121-116 win against Golden State. Westbrook moved past Jason Kidd for the most rebounds in NBA history by a guard. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun developing today, an isolated shower chance lingers in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, highs from the lower 50s in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Now with partly cloudy skies for tonight. Temperatures head back down into the mid-30s, and then on Friday we'll see considerable cloudiness and some scattered shower chances moving in with highs from the low to mid-50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Hold up. Big topics. Big ideas. Big sky. Montana Talks.
David Noble here filling in for Aaron Flint. We just got done talking to the CEO of the Montana State Fund. And that was a good conversation. Thanks to Holly Odell for coming in. We got Tim in Billings back on. Tim, we got a message here. From Fred in Billings. He says, everyone should know HR is never the employee's friend. HR is there to protect the organization. If they have questions, request legal counsel.
Right. Well, I don't know if, I guess I don't know if you had mentioned the topic that I thought about bringing up with you. I sent you a message and I said, you know, I think it's ironic in our society, HR has really dissuaded people from talking about politics or religion at work. And what are the two biggest issues in the world that people feel the most strongly about? Politics and religion. But they've neutered society from being able to have those serious, passion-filled conversations with the people that they don't know as well as they know their own family or their own inner circle. And to me, that's tantamount to the way the education system has been taken over by leftists. And I think it's the same thing with HR departments. It's like, we can't have people having conversations that could change the way they think. Or I don't think having discussions about politics or religion in the workplace is necessarily a danger. It's just that, you know, another way to suppress, to censor people from having conversations.
Absolutely. And wow, what a connection there between Fred's message and what you were talking about. Frankly, this is one of my, it's one of my, I don't know if you want to say pet peeves or sort of pet issues, but like I 100% agree with you. I would even take it a step farther that I would say that as citizens and voters in a constitutional republic like the United States, we have an obligation and a duty to be talking to each other about politics. And then as a Christian, we have a duty to be talking to people about religion. And so, you know, the other thing people always talk about, it's like, okay, think about this. When it's just you and your buddy, and let's say it's Friday night or Saturday night, and you have a friend over, you're at a friend's house, and you guys start drinking and smoking and having a good time. What do you, by the end of the night, what are you guys talking about? Politics and religion, maybe relationships, but politics and religion, because you're right, those are our most deeply felt issues. And to try to shut that down, some people, I think they go through life without talking to anybody about politics or religion. They're missing out on some of the deepest, most satisfying conversations.
I think they've been socially conditioned not to, because they're considered taboo subjects. They're the most important subjects because they affect every decision you make in your life. And if it's not a decision that you're making, it's a decision that somebody else has made for you.
Yeah, and I think a skill that is a really good skill to develop, and I've really worked hard on this over my lifetime, is the ability to talk about politics and religion with somebody who disagrees without losing your temper, without being rude to them, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's why a lot of people avoid it, is because there are so many folks that cannot talk about politics or religion without losing their temper, without getting too emotional. But it really is a critical skill. And I would encourage anybody out there to do what I did, which is recognize that and then make an actual concerted effort to recognize when you're talking about those issues and when you start to feel emotional or angry or anything like that, to reel it back in, because that's what we need to, I think, to have more of these conversations in our society and our country.
I agree 100%. I've never shied away from those topics ever, just because I'm not going to be told what I can and can't talk about. Just my personal makeup.
That's why you got sent to HR so many times. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
But I had a coworker one time, and we were having a conversation about politics, and I asked him, what do you think? And he said, I don't think you want to know what I think because I have a different opinion. I said, I absolutely want to hear what you have to think, and you should never be afraid to state your opinion, especially when you're surrounded by people that disagree with you. This was 6 years ago. You know, and here I think our society's devolved, and look at what happened to Charlie Kirk, because there's people out there who can't stand the idea of hearing an idea that they disagree with.
From the blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just stay away.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Are you about to mow the lawn? It's blazing hot out here, Smokey Bear says.
Avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry. It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.